Oh, yeah, that's correct.
Al, you didn't get a good answer.
Oh, in that case, we'll probably have to move on. Anyway, okay. We're up now to Zion and Midbez. Zion and Midbez, we're up to basically the first wide line, almost the first wide line, Rus. We left off talking about Reuven, the significance of why he was called Reuven. Okay. Which basically is a breakup of two words, Reuben, see the difference between my kid and comparing him to Esav. All right. So on the same line of thought, as we'll see Rashi in a second, we also bring down Rus, which apparently has nothing to do with what we've been learning, except for the fact that we want to darshan the significance of her name. So the Gemara says, my Rus. What's the significance of this name, Rus? So the Gemara says, Omer of Yochanan, Shizach Saviyatz Mimenu David, because Rus, who is, as Rashi says, Rus HaMoaviyah, she came from Moav, from her eventually came David HaMelech.
Her great-grandson. Rus had a son by the name of Ovad, followed by Yishai, and then David. The only reason why I know Ovad is because that's Boaz's son. You know, it's, might as well know that. Anyway, but so because of that, so what? How does that help me with her name, Rus? The next word. Shiryahu HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'shiros V'stishbachos. The word Rus comes from the word here, Shiryahu, which means literally intoxicated Hashem with Shiros and Tishbachos, songs.
Time out. Who gave her the name Rus? Was it given by her Moab family?
It's a question.
Or was it, because, right. You know, what do they know from Hashem?
Well, good, good. So the...
Well, you didn't answer that.
Right. We're gonna see. That's gonna be a shot.
I have another approach.
Yeah.
What's
the
matter?
Here we go again. Yes, they call.
I don't know.
Sorry, I
knocked on my front of my driveway. Was it me? So you have the courtesy of Fred Stufi.
I don't know. They blocked the driveway.
I said you have the courtesy of Fred Stufi.
Where's the
606?
Over my lawn.
Correct. Where's the 606?
Over my lawn.
She was made enough prior, so which. She's a Taryag Mitzvah woman. Oh, very good. So that's how some people are explain brought down the Beis Yosef, that shot. That
again,
if the reason is, well, we'll get to that question. That we're not going to address yet. We'll get to it. Is why is her name Rus? Because Rus means that she intoxicated tremendous amount, like overdoing it, over drinking, over. Singing.
Kosi Revoyah. You say Kosi Revoyah.
Right, but. Kosi Revoyah. Okay, right. So, but this is the significance of her name. So the Mefarshim asked, so let her name be Shira. It's Rus. Come up with a different name, which also means song.
Right.
So the word is, they explain, because Rus also has other elements in that, including the 606 plus the Shevis.
Again,
no, 613.
So who gave the name? That's the point.
Right.
Your name, your parents, your parents were Moabite. No, and were kings. So, a name was given, how it was usually, what's the word? First of all, how do you know what originally name was? Who says that originally was Rus? Maybe she changed it. Didn't she cross the road? Doesn't say that anywhere. Not say it. She crossed the road. Why not? Abraham, when came from Abraham, came Abraham. But how many comes to this country is Morris? I don't think so. Mushy.
Her name was not always Rus.
Okay.
There's a discussion exactly what it was. Was her name always Rus? Some say yes, but some say that really that's not the case. And I'm blanking out where I saw it, but trust me that she had a different name, and then she accepted upon herself a different name.
And Moshe had significance. And Moshe was called Moshe, was not changed.
But her mother was around. Maybe her mother had
Moshe
something. How could
Moshe be an Egyptian name?
Minamai Mishasiha.
You know, you take the Hebrew word Mishasiha.
They say it was an Egyptian name.
It was the Arab word for Moshe is Musa.
What I'm telling you is that it's the same thing. If the name is given a rough code, it's given a significance.
Yeah, but Reuben's a name given by Leah to Abba's son.
Hashem,
she was a Jewish woman.
Hashem gave her.
Yes, but he gave it to a Jewess. But Rus's parents weren't Jewish, they were Moabim.
They also received the Ruach Kodesh at time also. Rebecca received the Ruach Kodesh.
They could.
Bilam did.
Bilam was easy. Bilam was like Moshe. I mean, you could say as far as
he
was.
He was great at Moshe.
Great, right. That's what they say. But that's his special case.
So, but that's, we're gonna have to answer that in a second. If we see the rest of the piece of the Gemara, we'll maybe be able to get a better understanding of the question. But we'll see that in a minute in Rashi as well. But that's the idea. Shiru HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiru Sotzeh Bachos, that was overdone. It's like a person is over drinking. That's how David HaMelech was with his Tehillim. So on this, the Gemara now asks, Minolan Dishma Garim, second wide line, how do we know that a person's name causes? In other words, how do we know a person's name represents the essence of them? It's not just you have a name, big deal, you're called Henry or George or Frank, but it actually represents something about your essence. If you study the name, it means something about you. How do we know that that's true? And because that's what we're saying about Rus. This is what she embodied. This is what she represented. This is what we said also about Reuven. That Reuven, look at his name, you see the difference of how he acted in his life as opposed to Esav when his Bechor was taken away from him. So that's the Gemara's question. We'll just get to the two dots and we'll discuss this better. So Rabbi Elazar, the Yom Kra, Rabbi Elazar says, based on the Pasuk, L'chul chazu mipo'olas Hashem asher shem Shemos Ba'aretz. It says, go and see the works of Hashem, in which there was the desolate places of the land, Shemot. So he says, Al Tikri Shemot El Shemos. Rather, translate the word, switching the Nekudos around, as names. That go and see the wonders of Hashem that based on Asher Sham Shemos Ba'aretz, that you could study the names of the land, of the people of the world. And that's also how people explain by Adam HaRishon, that he was given an incredible task. What was he supposed to do? He had to name all the animals. It's a big deal. So he just named them, you know, X, Y, Z. Who cares? What's the difference?
It had to fit.
It's because it had to, exactly, it had to fit somehow.
Because he was able to understand the essence of each,
right, well, that was right. That's the significance of it.
So now we have to beg the question.
Right.
What comes first? The name or your character?
I mean, let's face it, when parents give a child a name, they generally name them after somebody that came before. They don't know what your character is.
But if you go ahead and say, okay, my name is such and such, and these are the attributes of these people, then I have to go ahead and try to be like these people.
How many people do that? Did you do that?
I have.
I don't know. I know my people. I named them Phil and Oliver.
No, no.
I know about
it. What are you Hebrew?
This is Yehuda Yitzchak.
This is Yehuda Yitzchak.
So one guy was just Yehuda, and the other was Yitzchak. I don't know. I've never asked my parents about it.
But you know about Yehuda, and you know about Yitzchak.
Right.
And they had certain attributes. And one is Aaron and Yisachar.
Right.
Aaron was Rodev Shalom, and Yisachar was...
Why do you fight with everybody all the time?
I'm trying to make peace. You can't achieve it, but the question very simply is what comes first? Is it the name which gives you certain attributes, and then you try to emulate the name, or the other way around?
But I would say if you went around and told most of the people that you know, and asked them, do they live a life?
Because most people are non-thinkers.
That's why it's amazing. So many Israelis.
Nimrod. Well, that's why we don't want to name a child after a Russian, because it has. But it's like you don't want to. New parents, they're constantly, you know, reading these books on name of this. No, because he'll get teased. He'll be made fun of.
Exactly.
So what is it? So what could happen? A person's name could really negatively affect the child.
Negatively, right?
Or positively. Right. You can fit in. I want my child to. You know, to be a
Paris.
So that's what I'm saying, based on that logic of what we see, it's first comes the name and then you kind of fit in, mold into it.
But that's mostly English names. I mean, most Jews name.
And that's why the one was offered. I can't believe that.
Right. Yeah. So that's what it brings down.
But Rus is named.
Yes.
Because of the chus of what she will have coming from her, not that she had that as an essence.
The question, which means the only way David HaMelech was capable of reaching that level is because of his relationship to Rus. It wasn't just David by himself that achieved his greatness. It's the fact that he had role models like Rus.
Did David know Rus?
No, but he's not a genius.
He did not know.
I don't think he did.
He did not know her personally, but he
heard about
her. He knew about her, about what.
He followed her footsteps. He heard about her.
He probably read the book.
Right.
You know?
Or saw the movie
once.
He saw the movie.
So, all right, so let's see Rashi. While we're seeing Rashi, there's a question that the Mefarshim ask, is that the Gemara asks the question of, how do we know? Manolon de Shmagarim, it asks it by Rus. It doesn't ask it by Reuven. We could have asked that same question by Reuven. So why? I mean, the simple answer is, we had two pieces of Gemara, so it would ask the question after that's finished. Or you could ask, maybe it should have been presented immediately. So that's something we have to think about. Why, in the Mefarshim deal with this question, why do we need to ask this question only by Rus, but not by Reuven? And that perhaps will answer your question. We'll see in a minute.
Reuven had a direct reason for his name.
His mother
had a specific focus when she said
she was hoping that he would not be like Esau.
Like, yeah, Rus was like an anomalous name. I'm going to give you a name. Your name is Rus. Okay. I don't have any reason to call you Rus. I feel that I want to call you Rus. Reuven, it was a rational action, a thought-out reason of why it was being called at a given point.
But the whole piece of Gemara is that his Bechor is going to be taken away because he'll make a mistake after Leah dies.
Okay.
And his Bechor will be taken away and will be given to Yosef, and he won't be upset about it. All those things Rachel didn't know. I mean, you could say through Nevuah, the Ruach HaKodesh, but she didn't know that. She certainly knew that she did not want her son to be like Esav, but why would Leah want this particular name?
Is the name Reuven going to what he did?
The question is, as you were saying, what the Gemara is, the question is, Manolan de Shema Gorim. Sounds like, how do we know that a person's name affects you will be? So the starting point is that you're given a name and it will happen. You will somehow represent that in your name. You know, there's some attribute which occurs in the name. Basically. Or live down to it. Exactly. So, but that's one of the questions. If you see Rashi brings down, it's on the left side, Rashi says, about the fifth line from the top, Rus Hamoaviyah, Mishum De'ayri Perush V'Shemos Nachbo, because we're already bringing down other explanations of why people are named as such, therefore we also decided to bring down Rus. So the Mefarshim ask another question. They say, the Gemara only says the word Rus. Rashi throws in where she came from. Rus Hamoaviyah. Like, why do I need to know
maybe
where she came from?
Like I said, maybe came from Moab, but did not come, as you said, that she changed the name to pick means.
Right, so some you can learn by Reuven, he had Jewish parents, and you could say, you know, there is some level of
the funny thing is, in the story of Rus, a mother-in-law changes her name. Naomi to call something else because
bitter.
So they make a specific reference to the fact of changing your name. So Rus was such a, you know that she changed her name to Rus, it would have delineated it.
But that also shows how a name represents who you are. That's what she said. Don't call me this, call me this because I'm bitter
right,
in spirit.
Exactly.
So what do you mean? So, but that's not your name. He says, no, but that's a name is who I am. That's what I represent. So I'm no longer this.
Back to Rus is that the name originated from Moab because even Rashi's kind of intimating that. So how did she know again that you know that came from Hashem and the whole thing that, that the Gemara says? Sure, you know.
Right. That's certainly one possible way of approaching it. In fact, it's brought down in the Ritzchias. He says that when it comes to nowadays, there's no such thing as nevuah. There's no nevuah. Prophecy is only by shota and by ketanim. Right? They're the only ones that say they have prophecy. But it's brought down by the Chiddush Arim that the one-time parents or anyone has some element of a nevuah is when they name their child. That's the one time. And so therefore, based on that concept, the Ritzchias says that's the reason why the Gemara asks, only by Rus, how do we know the Shema Garim, that there's something significant about the name. Because when it comes to Reuven's parents were Jewish, and therefore they had this special ability to give a name, and it was a nevuah. That's what would end up happening, right? However, it would come to Rus, whose parents just descended from non-Jews, you would think that there's no element of nevuah, there's no prophecy. So that's what the Gemara says. How do we know that still, even in that situation, still the Shema Garim, that a name has significance, has some type of an effect. So that's how it's brought down over there. So, but so it's one last thought on this piece. The interesting lashon of Rus is Shiryuhu Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that's just intoxicated. So it's explained that what does it mean to be intoxicated? Because who's someone who gets drunk? Someone who's depressed, someone who's sad, upset. See, you drink a little bit, you have a couple, a happy night, happy hour, whatever it's called, and you're happy, you feel better. So being intoxicated gives the person the ability to change from one midah to the other. She said that's also what Tehillim does. But Tehillim also, if a person is under midas adin, Hashem is, for whatever reason, causing pain and suffering to you personally, to Klal Yisrael, Tehillim also has that ability, Shiryuhu, that like intoxicates HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is able to change him and change the mazel of the world to Rachman and to Simcha. So that's how some explain this, that lashon. Alright. Anyway, let's continue with the next piece of Gemara. Gemara says, V'yom Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shim Ben Yoichai. It says, Kasha Tarvis Ra Batoich Beso Shel Adam Yoisim Milchamos Gog Magog. He asks the question, what's worse? A terrible war with bloodshed and violence, many thousands of people dying, which is the Milcham of Gog Magog, or in your own house to have, unfortunately, one of your children will rebel against you. So he says, that's worse. Worse, Kasha is Tarvis Ra Batoich Beso. That's much worse than even Milchamos Gog Magog, even worse than the greatest of wars. And there's going to be psukim to back this up by David HaMelech with his own son Avshalom, who rebels against him, and ultimately, of course, Avshalom dies, which we talked about a couple days ago in the Mishnah Sota. But nonetheless, because he was the one who had had long hair, and he was stuck in the tree, right? So, but nonetheless, Avshalom rebelled against his father, David HaMelech, and it was worse than even the Milchama, because the Milchama is a community, it's fine, it's violence and whatnot, but it's something which is in your own family, your own flesh and blood, someone who is the continuity of your life.
Milchama is called the Mogul.
Yeah.
May not affect everybody. Some people would be spared.
Right. You might not be part of that war, or you might. But if it's happening to you, it's in your house.
What is
Armageddon?
There are a lot of
war in the north.
And
the day
is the war of what? Between.
Whoever it is, Israel may be destroyed. Why do we have apocalyptic stories that come around? Okay.
We didn't make it up. It's an old story.
Yeah, even before Judaism was around.
We read about in the Haftarah by Sukkot a couple of days.
It's part of our tradition that this is going to happen.
But it's during the most Mashiach. So, how much information do we have in Torah Shabbat on the most Mashiach? How much? Torah Shabbat Peh we'll eventually get to in the end of Sanhedrin. But it's
our friend Ahmad and Najat. He's ready for this big battle. He says the Mashiach will come as soon as this battle is over and Israel is destroyed. Where there's a question that there isn't about our tradition, Israel may suffer very severely. May it may not, but it depends upon how we do it. It's a very strong thing. Every religion seems to have this.
So, I mean, this is something which the Gemara is saying applies to everyone, should apply to everyone, because of David's experience. So if it happened to David HaMelech, and it bothered him so much more than a war. I mean, he's gone through wars. Right? David is no stranger to violence, and it didn't bother him so much. You know, that's the reason why the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built through him, because of all the bloodshed that he had. So, but his own child was something which was unbearable, as we'll see in the Pesukim.
All right, so now we can... First question that we learned last week: why do good things happen to bad people and vice versa?
Right.
Here we talk about Shevach David, who intoxicated Hashem, who gave Hashem everything that Hashem wants, and when the Issachar Hashem responded to what David did, and lo and behold, David has his firstborn son doing something which is worse than Milchamas Rabbah Malach.
Why is he punished?
They're saying that Absalom is in rebellion against him.
Yeah, so what's your question? Why David deserved this? What is your question?
If David was able to project a certain image and certain...
So why didn't his father kill him?
Yeah.
Well, look at Aaron. You go down the thing. I don't know. The Babi, Moshe, Gershom and Eliezer, they were not really any significant characters. Their father was the greatest thing since...
They weren't trying to kill him.
We don't know anything about them. Why not?
That's true.
Come on, hello. Let's think of reality here.
They tried to kill him. They were over.
He was rebelling again. He was the power.
Well, they say not the Babi wanted the power also. The whole thing that they said that they, when they had the old people,
we're literally making from two sentences away. We're saying Shevach of Rus is David.
Right.
David as the helper. Okay.
Right.
That placates Hashem in moments of tsar or everything else. And here, David, who wrote all of these tales, who was the essence of this, is suffering. With this, which they think is even worse than Milchamas Rabbah Malach.
Both like
Paul
says,
Paul says, Higim and Orah Bonim have kids who follow in their footsteps?
Absolutely not.
Of course not.
Are we putting the Achorim ahead of David?
No, but we're saying this is life. That you don't guarantee that the children are going to be like the parents.
That the acorn falls in the
tree. No matter how good they are, no matter who they are. As we see. Moshe asked Hashem that Gershon and his two sons and Gershon should succeed him, and Hashem said no.
So then therefore we cannot learn from anything from this. There's no lesson to be learned here.
You can try. You have to try. What happens later on happens. But you got to try.
Is there a lesson that you learn here? Any lesson there at all?
Yeah, you got to try.
What lesson did you learn so far? I haven't learned a lesson yet.
Well, let's finish this piece of Gemara. Maybe we will come up with something.
Yeah, let's finish it.
Let's see. Let's see this piece.
We'll
all right. So he says that Kasha Tarvus Rab Atach Beisa Shel Adam Yosef Mechamas Gogim Agum. Worse is than a difficult upbringing in your home, even more than a war. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, Mizmor LeDavid, which the next piece of Gemara is going to ask
Why is it, he's so happy? David Melech is singing over here. He's so happy. Bivrochoi mibnei Avshalom b'no, because he's running away for his life from his son Avshalom, which is an interesting name. He's like, he gives his father peace, which perhaps is euphemism. But nonetheless, that's he said. He begins this piece of Tehillim that way. V'ksib asrei, and it's written afterwards. It says, Hashem ma rabut sari rabim kamim alai. Hashem, so much pain and anguish that my sarim rabim kamim alai. I have so many enemies that are trying to attack me and trying to kill me. So that's a very powerful sentence. Hashem ma rabut sari. How great are my enemies against me. V'ilu gabi milchamas gog umagog. What does he say about this futuristic messianic war? Ksiv, he says, what are they making such a big deal over there? Lomo rugshu goyim. Why are the nations in such an uproar? Umi mihegurik. These nations are uttering things which are vain. That's, they're making a big deal out of nothing. They're fighting over nothing. Ve'ilu, however, ma rabot sari loksiv. It doesn't say anything about how great are my enemies, how great are my adversaries. And the way I understand this is because why is it worse? Because it's ma rabu sarai. It's something which is happening to me personally. When it comes to a milchama, even if I'm part of the war, but it's not something which directly affects me, doesn't affect my family. Something which directly affects a person on such a level, such a personal level, that's even more painful, more difficult. Milchama, wars, they're wars. But so that's the end of that piece. Satisfied?
No.
Okay. In that case, let's move on. All right. Okay. Fine. This is really a continuation from the piece we just saw, because the pasuk said Mizmor LaDavid Bivrach Mibnei Avshalom B'no, and we kind of just glossed over that. But problem is, it says I'm going to sing a beautiful song because I'm running away from my life from my son Avshalom. So we ask, what are you talking about? There's obviously a mistake in the in this paragraph, in this Kapitel Tehillim. Mizmor David, kin lo David mi boy. You shouldn't say it's a mizmor, I'm singing a great song of praise. It should be kinna, like there are kinnos, which are lamentations. Which is a nice word for terrible thing I'm lamenting, I'm sorrowful about. So what is he saying mizmor David for? It doesn't make any sense. Why is he happy? So after we finish this piece of Gemara, perhaps we'll maybe understand the Gemara above it as well. So Omar Shimon ben Abi Shalom, which is interesting that that's his father's name, but that's who it was. He was the one, only person that could come up with his answer is someone, Rav Shimon, whose son's name is also Avshalom. It's interesting. I just noticed that. Moshul Ma'adavadoma. What is this? What parable could we think of which could be comparable to this? Well, Adam Shiotzalov Shtarchov, a person who had an obligation, he had to pay, he had some credit card debt to worry about. So Kodem Shiparo, before he had to pay it off, and all these APR finance charges, Hayatzav, he was stressed out of his mind. His credits were grading was going down. La'achar Shiparo, but after he finally was able to somehow consolidate and pay off his debt, Sameach, he was happy. Okay. What does that have to do with our story? Afkan David. So to becomes David Melech. Kivan Shemel Kodesh Baruch Hu, because he already knew that something was coming down the pike. Because Hashem told him, Hinei Mekim Alecha Ram Veitecha. Something bad is going to happen. I'm going to create something evil that's going to emanate, which will come forth from your house. That's all Hashem said. Hashem kind of gave him a little hint that you're going to be in trouble, someone's going to try to kill you or hurt you or do something to you. So when David HaMelech heard this, it was just like a terrible debt on his head. Ha'atzev, he was concerned and stressed. Omer, he said, Shema Eved or Mamzerhu, Dul Chayasalei. Maybe it's going to be some servant, some Mamzer, some worthless guy who's going to have no pity on me, who just won't care about me, will have no compassion over me. And that's the person that Hashem is saying is destined to attack me. Oh,
Kiban dechaz adam shalom who, once he found out, oh, I'm so happy. It's only my son, Sameach. Shemhach yomer mizmor. Because of this, he said, Mizmor David, I'm so happy that it's, I'm shalom, that it's my son that's chasing after me. Okay. Now there's a lot of problems with that. First of all, the Marsha, which you can see, it's a one-liner like that. Might as well take a peek at it anyway. It's only one line. It's a little bit longer, but we like to see the one line. It's the Marsha, which is page Gimel, four, the opposite side, the facing page is page Gimel. On the right column, about 20 lines from the bottom, you see the first word on the line is Mutter. Yeah, so if you look at the line right above it, we're only going to see this one line. Dav Shalom, etc. So the Marsha says, Gam Shlomatzinu Bikra, even though we never find anywhere in the Psukim Shayachas al Aviv Bedavar, what do you mean? He was never compassionate. Avshalom was just as nasty as anyone else. Says the Marsha, Mikol Makom, David Hayachoshev Kain, Omer Mizmor. When did he say the Mizmor? He didn't say the Mizmor after he saw his son in his most vengeful state. The second that he saw his son was beginning to rebel, that's when he said Mizmor David, because he knew it can't be that bad. It turned out it was. It was that bad that he didn't have any mercy on his father. But says the Marsha, because otherwise it makes no sense. Well, why is he Mizmor David? It's going to be any worse than what Avshalom tried to do to his father. He tried to kill him. He took, as we mentioned, was it yesterday, his concubines, 10 of his Pilagash. So he wasn't such a great guy. But says the Marsha, at least that's what he thought. That's what he initially thought, perhaps, that's how he was. That's one explanation. It's brought down to Ein Yaakov that he really did have mercy. He did have compassion. Why? He showed compassion, says Ein Yaakov, because someone who really wanted to kill him would have done it in a sneaky way. He would have created his posse to support him, his little group of troops, quietly, and then they would have sneaked into the palace. So he was already there. They could have just easily killed him. But what happened? He did it in a very loud, public way to let his father know, I am rebelling from you, against you, and I want to kill him. So therefore, this is how the Ein Yaakov beautifully reads the Pasuk. Listen to this Pasuk. Mizmor LeDavid, what's the reason why I'm singing? Bivracho mipnei Avshalom b'no. The fact that I'm running away. Because the Mizmor is that if it was someone else, he would have killed me. He gave me a chance to flee. That's the reason why the Pasuk says that. B'rachum v'nishom b'no. That's the reason for the Mizmor. That's the Zimra. That's the what I'm happy about.
This type of Hashem, who was in line for the Muluk after that?
Well, he promised Shlomo. He promised Shlomo to promised Bathsheba. So what happened was, you know, towards the end of his life, Yoav and Sriya.
Yeah. Yoav was his general.
He made a big, while David was
out of sorts.
He was in trouble, still physically was out of it.
Right.
So he made a big party, invited everybody over, and he was getting set to take over the Melucha.
Coup.
And then the word got to Bathsheba, and she told David what was going on, and David put out the word. Cool, but Shlomo was replacing him.
Has anybody addressed the issue? I mean, and this is an aside.
Yeah.
Of the dynamics of what went on. I mean, we emulate David as a leader of someone who Shevach Hashem, everything else.
Right.
And he himself could not keep his house in order.
Many leaders are like that.
That's not the answer. The question I'm asking is, have we addressed the issue of where were the deficiencies in what we should be learning to raise our children as? rather than the
Well, we know from experience that a lot of people who are so busy, what
right, he's running the government, and that's time for the
to
watch
the family.
Exactly.
And you see, like, and you see children just emulating their parents, okay, by their values and what they're all about.
Sometimes so.
They maintain that.
It works both ways. There's no guarantee.
Right. No guarantee. It's very
true. There's no guarantee on children. There's no guarantee on who you are, how they're going to come out of it. Right? You got to just try.
I guarantee you, there has to be svarim and books written about these things.
About chinuch, about...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They're
sure.
And especially in Israel, it probably is.
There certainly
are. You know that later on, in the, after Shlomo, when the Malka was divided, there was like an oscillation that you had very commonly a very good king who was followed by his...
I understand that. But I'm talking about it specifically in this pattern.
Right. I mean, there was rebellion, but it wasn't necessarily that they...
Children went off the path. Right?
Yeah, because they weren't, the parents weren't around, didn't have the time to show them.
It's brought down to connect what we were saying before. Sham Shul Fuller Hirsch asks a question sometimes in Tehillim. It's interesting. Sometimes it says Mizmor David, and sometimes it says David Mizmor. It's like, what's the significance? What's the difference? It's the same two words, they're just out of order. So, you'd have to do a study to actually see that this is true, looking at all the different places. But he says that when it comes to, when you find David Mizmor, that means that David is already in an uplifted mood. He's already in a very happy mood. That's when his name comes first. He's already himself, and then he's singing Zmiros. Mizmor LeDavid, such as over here, is that he was in a down, depressed mood. And what he needed to do was to elevate himself through the reciting of Tehillim, which is what we've said before by Rus, that David Melech intoxicated himself with Shiros V'Tishbachos, just like a drunk person changes their mood. So he says, that's the word over here, that when it says Mizmor David, that he was able to, in any situation, use Tehillim to lift himself up, even in this particular situation. So at least gives us the explanation of, assuming that theory is true, that it's Mizmor David as opposed to the other way around, so it shows it's really not, it wasn't a happy time. The fact that it says it was a Zimra, it was a good thing, that doesn't prove anything. It shows the opposite, that he needed more Tehillim, more praising to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to lift him up. That's what he did. One last thought that is asked, so what's the difference if it was this child, or it was a Mamzer, or an Eved? So it's brought down by, over here in the Beis Yosef, he says that there's a difference between teva and chutz l'teva. When it comes to an eved wants to rebel, wants to take over the position, right? When it comes to, and they have no ties to me, no emotional ties, no connection whatsoever. My son, right, he's destined to become a king, or he's certainly royalty. He'd have no reason to want to really rebel against me. So David HaMelech says like this, when something happens to you and it's within the confines of teva, of nature, and you don't really see the Yad Hashem. You don't see Hashem's hand involved in it. However, he says, in this situation, I'll read this one line, Zeh chutz l'teva, v'mi Hashem yatsa hadavar, l'chein omer mizmor. He praised Hashem because he said that it has to be that this is coming from you. He was able to see the fact that it's my son and not from someone else. That's the reason I have to praise you, because I clearly, it has to be from you. And even the concept is that he was able to be makabel anything that happened to him. Even things which were negative, he was able to connect to Hashem. But it's only things which were chutz l'teva, things which seemed to be out of the ordinary, because that shows that Hashem was really involved in he had his hand in this whole thing. So, but that's, at least according to Rosh Hashanah Shlomo Hirsch, at least that connects this piece of Gemara to the previous one of why her name was Rus. It's because of her that
the future of the change of being in a lowly down, being down and depressed. That's what Tehillim can do, and that's what David did as well by Mizmor LaDavid in this particular situation. Okay, and that's basically the next piece of Gemara is relatively long, so we're going to have to stop. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.